ABC Radio Australia.
We need your help. That is the message from the Kiribati man at the centre of that landmark UN decision on climate refugees, and he's urged larger nations to take the plight of his people seriously. Yoane Te Seota was deported from New Zealand back in 2015 after his bid to become the world's first climate refugee was rejected by that country. He then took his case all the way to the UN Human Rights Committee, which has now recently rejected his claim that he faced an imminent risk in Kiribati. But that committee did accept the general principle that governments must consider the impact of climate change when they decide whether it is lawful to return people to their homelands. And so that could have big implications for Australia and the Pacific, as Evan Wasuka reports.
Kiribati man Yoane Te Seota made world headlines in 2015 when he challenged his deportation from New Zealand for overstaying his work visa. He told New Zealand Supreme Court that returning his family to their Pacific Island homeland would put their lives at risk due to the threat of rising sea levels. But the court rejected his claim and the family were deported later that year.
When we first arrived in Kiribati, we experienced a great difference in our standard of living compared to when we were staying in New Zealand. The notable difference is that my children are more vulnerable here to the spread of diseases such as viral infections like the flu or diarrhea.
Mr. Te Seota's lawyer, Dr. Michael Kidd, says rising sea levels in Kiribati have also affected access to fresh drinking water.
With Kiribati, the water supplies are by and large pretty well non-existent in terms of being free of pathogen.
This week, Mr. Te Seota received another blow. His complaint to the UN Human Rights Committee in Geneva challenging New Zealand's decision was rejected. Professor Jane McAdam of the University of New South Wales is an expert in refugee law.
The Human Rights Committee basically followed the reasoning of the New Zealand Tribunal and courts and said that at this point in time, his life wasn't at risk.
But it's still a landmark decision because although it's non-binding, the committee still accepted Mr. Te Seota's argument in principle.
This is the first time we have a body saying where somebody's life is at risk or where the adverse impacts of climate change mean they will be living in inhuman or degrading conditions, then governments have an obligation, a legal obligation under international human rights law, not to send them back.
And that could have huge implications for the Pacific. Canberra has acknowledged that Pacific Atoll nations face an existential threat from climate change. And Amnesty International's Richard Piercehouse says we can expect more of these legal challenges in future.
That the effects of climate change are increasing. They're increasing in the Pacific. They're becoming more and more present every day, every month, every year. And we can expect that that question of imminence, is the harm sufficient to get protection from being sent back to those sorts of countries, will become easier and easier to show.
Mr. Piercehouse says although the decision is non-binding, signatories to the Refugee Convention are still obliged to take its findings into consideration. Yoane Te Seota says he's disappointed about the outcome personally, but he hopes it'll pave the way for change. He's still hoping he can return to New Zealand.
What's important to me is for big countries to consider the challenges we face with respect to climate change. Personally, I think big countries like New Zealand should accept us and not ignore our plight because our islands are very low-lying and we are vulnerable even to the slightest bad weather or storm surge, so our life here is being affected in one way or another. So I want to ask these big countries to please take our case seriously, because we need their help.